How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned into our broadcast again this week. We're picking up our study here in John chapter 13. John 13, verse 1. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we saw last week, wrapped up chapter 12, saying that men will be judged by the word of God. We take a look over in Revelation chapter 20, how that word is contained in those books. The Bible, the book of life, those words are contained there, and men will be judged according to their works by the word of God. He wraps up the chapter in verse 49 and 50, saying that the Father has sent him, the Father has given him a commandment of what he should say, and he knows that this commandment is life after lasting. And what is it that the Father has said about the Son? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. On the Mount of Transfiguration, there with Peter, James, and John, having seen the Lord Jesus Christ transfigured before them in his glory, in his greatness, in his might, meeting there with Moses and Elijah, they speak about the Lord's decease there in Jerusalem, how he's going to die. And then they hear after those things are done, and those men are terribly afraid. And the Lord Jesus Christ takes them, touches them, raises them up from their great fear that they have. And he says, and they hear a voice from heaven that speaks, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And so it is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father has given him that. Jesus is not a freelancer, as he has been accused. And it's a testimony unto the ministers of God, preachers that say that they're called by the Lord God Almighty to be preachers of his glorious gospel and the word of his truth, are not freelancers, but they are the Lord's ministers to work through the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches. Yes. That's the only way that one can be a minister of the Lord, is to be called through his institution and in his church. Not saying that others can't be used, but that is what the Lord has ordained and the way it is to be. They are given, we are given a word from God, not a word of self, not a philosophy of self or the way of the world, but a word from God, from the word of God, to declare unto the generation in which we find ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ says that this word from the Father is life everlasting. And if men will believe it, if men will receive it, their salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 13, verse number 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. John writes with great admiration for the Lord Jesus. If you consider the writings of this man, John the Apostle, he is brother to James the Apostle. He's a roughneck fisherman fishing the waters of the Sea of Galilee all of his life, having a very noble father themselves. But he and his brother, they're quick with the tongue. They're maybe even kind of hot-headed, and they're old rough fishermen. And the Lord Jesus Christ, one day there, says unto them, "Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." The preaching of John the Baptist moved them so, and the Spirit of God moved in them so, that the Lord had saved their souls, had saved this man. And when you take a look at the writing of John and his gospel here that we're looking at and considering now, and then the epistles of 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, you find a man that is greatly, greatly moved and that greatly marvels about the love of his Savior for him. He's a man that's been changed. He's a man that is indeed blessed of the Lord. He's been touched by God. He's been saved. He's been saved by the Savior. And he marvels in it. And he says here, the last Passover of the Lord Jesus, where on this Passover, the Lord Jesus Christ will offer himself as the Passover lamb for his people. John says, he knows the time is at hand. He knows that he's going to depart out of the world back into the Father. And he did not forget his own, but he loved his own. Those that were in the world, he loved his own unto the end. Oh, what a statement. Oh, what a marvel that John says. All that he went through, how we betrayed him, how we left him, how he went to Calvary alone, and how he stood before Pilate alone, how he stood before Herod alone. He loved us to the end. He loved us to the end of the pouring out of his soul unto death. He loved us to the end of the giving of his body there on Calvary's tree. He loved us to the end, even though myself and the other apostles, we were not the ones that came and got his body for burial. We were afraid. He loved us to the end. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. He loved us. He loved them unto the end. And John marvels at that. Verse number 2, in the supper being ended, that is the observance of the Passover, and possibly even the Lord's Supper, that the Lord's Supper instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ for the sake of his church, not for any saving merit. There are many in our day that claim that the observance of the Lord's Supper, or as they call it, communion, or others call it mass, or different things that are that it's called. But the instituting of the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus Christ did that for one purpose, that it might be observed by his churches, his people in his churches, his New Testament Baptist churches, that it might be observed by them. And in doing so, they remember his death till he comes back. It's taken out of the Passover, and we who are Gentiles have no part in the Passover. It's not to be observed by us. Our observance of the feast, as it tells us in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, our observance of this is in the Lord's Supper, being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and being baptized into one of his New Testament Baptist churches and observing that Lord's Supper, the partaking of that bread and the partaking of that wine to remember the broken body of the Lord, yet not a bone of his body was broken, but yet his body was given and broken for us. The shedding of his blood there in Jerusalem and on Calvary's tree for our sins, we remember that he did that for us. That it's not by the supper that we are saved or confirmed or our salvation is maintained, but that our salvation is in Jesus Christ, an ordinance given to his churches to be observed by the members of those churches, those local churches, to remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The supper being ended, verse 2, and the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, Jesus was never alarmed about those things that took place. He, that is Jesus, verse 4, riseth from the supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So now Jesus, after the Passover and observing that with his disciples, after the institution of the Lord's Supper, it seems, he then takes on and girds himself in this way and takes this water and begins to wash even his own disciples' feet. The oil had been poured upon our Lord. One lady had poured oil on his feet and washed his feet, wiped his feet with the hairs of her head. Another lady, along the way, had anointed his head with oil. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, in a great display of humility, is washing his own disciples' feet. And to wipe them, verse number 5, there in the latter end, and latter part, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter says, You're going to wash my feet? And the Lord says, You don't understand this right now, Peter, but you will understand. Peter saith unto him, verse number 8, Thou shalt never wash my feet. See, we're particular about our feet, aren't we? We just don't want anybody messing with our feet. And yet, in someone taking and dealing with our feet, this washing of the feet is a very humbling, humiliating thing, isn't it? Especially for the one doing the washing. To stoop low before another and to take and wash the feet. And remember, these in this day, that would, if we understand historically correctly, they wore sandals. And their feet would get dirty as they would walk in the streets. And there was much grime and grit and dirt on their feet. And so the water would get dirty, and it would be a dirty job to do. Yet Peter said, You're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said unto him, answered him there in verse 8, in the latter part, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ lays it on the line with Peter, doesn't he? He says, Peter, this is necessary. If I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Lord, like he said in John chapter 6, to whom shall we go? Oh, there's no other place to go. There's no other one to have a part with. Oh, Lord, wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head too. Jesus saith unto him, verse 10, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. And so here the Lord Jesus Christ says, The feet are enough, Peter. The feet are enough. That's what needs to be done. But there is one here that is not clean. There is one here that will not be clean every whit. There is one here that is a betrayer. There is one here that is working the work of Satan. Well, I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with His word and His truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.